This talk is from GreatCatholicHomilies.com. Let others learn about you. 50 million Catholics in the U.S. surf the net. Are you reaching them? GreatCatholicWebsites.com. This talk is by Father Anthony Branken of the Archdiocese of Chicago on the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity.
You know, you and I are Christians. What's more, you and I are Catholics. That means we belong to a religion founded by Jesus Christ himself 2,000 years ago. And that is not just a silly claim. That is an historical fact. Look in any encyclopedia you want. Look up the history of the world in any book. Do a Google search, and you will find that the religion that goes all the way back to the apostles and therefore to Jesus Christ is the Catholic religion. The beliefs that we profess today in the year 2010 are the same beliefs professed by the apostles themselves. In other words, when the early Christians were fed to the lions or burned at the stake, it was because they believed what we believe. Now certainly, we Catholics have grown in our understanding of the faith, our over 20 centuries of time and history with prayer and meditation. We've deepened our understanding of everything that we believe, but we have not changed one morsel, because truth does not change. If something is true, it is always true. If there is one God, then there must have always been one God. If there will never be multiple gods. If Jesus was the divine Son of God 2,000 years ago, he is the divine Son of God today. If Mary, his mother, was a virgin before, during, and after the birth of Christ, then she is ever a virgin and a virgin today. If Jesus gave us 7 sacraments and his body and blood and the Pope in Rome, then the church that still has the 7 sacraments and the body and blood of Jesus and the Pope in Rome is the Church of Christ. And all the Alleluia churches in the world, and all the Bible churches in Cicero, and all the Bible churches in Berwyn are not the Church of Christ because they do not possess what Christ gave. They do not possess the fullness of the truth. Now, truth is about reality. And reality is about that which exists. When we say that we believe something, we are proclaiming that which we believe is true, that it exists in reality. And therefore, anything that contradicts what we believe would actually be false. Now, sometimes people ask about other people's beliefs. And they'll say, well, is what they believe true? And the answer that modern people often enough give is, well, it's true for them. Sorry, that's wrong. That makes no sense. That statement means nothing. Just because someone thinks that something is true does not mean that it is true. If I believe that there are dinosaurs in my bedroom, my belief does not make those dinosaurs appear. Unless there really are dinosaurs in my bedroom, I am deluded, delusional, and wrong. Not evil, but wrong. There are no dinosaurs in my bedroom, believe me. Just because we believe in something does not make it true. It has to be true, therefore it should be believed. So when we think about all the things that we believe as Catholics, the first point we have to make is this, is that those beliefs are about reality. That what we believe actually exists. That our beliefs are true. That's the first point. Now the second point, though, is that since those teachings of our faith are always about supernatural realities, and we are natural beings, we can only understand them partially. We are finite. We have a beginning and an end. And our brains, our ability to understand, has a beginning and an end. And it's very difficult to understand completely, impossible actually, to understand God and his universe. Because that is without beginning, he himself is without end. We cannot understand fully the infinite God and what he has revealed. We can understand it partially. And we can also see how it makes sense to believe these things. We can put it together and say, yeah, that makes sense. But we can never fully understand what God has revealed because we're simply humans. We accept and we believe what God has revealed about himself and his religion because he's God. So this leads us to the third point about our beliefs as Catholics. If those beliefs are true, and if those beliefs are about reality, then we have to structure our lives and our families and our cities and our world around those beliefs. We really have no choice. If our Catholic religion is about reality, and if to be sane is to be in touch with reality, then our lives, in order to be sane and happy and whole and holy, ought to reflect that reality. Am I putting too fine a point on it if I declare that this country and this world and all the people in it need to become Catholic? Everyone, the whole world over, from Jews to Muslims, from Christian Protestants to Hindus, from atheists to animists, everyone needs to convert to Christ in the Catholic Church. Because to the degree that this world is not Catholic, to that degree, it is in trouble and out of touch with reality and maybe just a little bit insane. These are the implications of being in church this morning. This is the implication of being in any church anytime. If what we're saying we believe in anything we are saying, it is true, and then it therefore must be true for everyone. Now today is the Feast of the Holy Trinity. As Catholics, we profess and we believe that there is one God, and that this one God has three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we tell the world every time we make the sign of the cross that we live under the sky of this one God in three persons, that he's over us and in us and around us. In him we live and move and have our being. When we tell everyone who asks us that this one God in three persons created the universe, the angels, the stars, the planets, the galaxies, and even Adam and Eve. And that when we sinned in Adam and Eve and wandered far from his friendship, he eventually sent his Son to be born of the Virgin Mary to save us. And then finally sent us the Holy Spirit to make us strong, make us holy, make us virtuous, and give us all the grace that we need to get to heaven. That's what Catholics have believed since the very beginning. And the Church has never wavered in that belief, that our God is the only God. There are no other gods. There is no God. That's from the atheists. And we need to live our lives and structure our world in the reflection of the reality of that one God. The problem is that we live in modern times. And modern times are what we call secular. And secular means basically, practically, atheist. We as modern people have been taught to make most of the decisions of our lives, from how we run our schools, to how we run our government, to how we run our day-to-day lives, as if God did not exist. This is what it means to live in a secular society. Our television, our movies, our newspapers, our internet, our politics and programs, our schools and sports, all exist in what is truly a godless vacuum. God might as well not exist as far as our public daily lives are concerned. There's one thing when the government does this, spending all of its energies and our money with never a thought about God. But the danger is that such an attitude can start to seep into our personal lives and our family lives, and then we begin to live and make our personal decisions as if God didn't exist. We begin to ignore God and his will and his revelation. And then we can begin, this is a danger, we can begin to regard our Catholic religion not as something as important for us and for everyone else, but maybe as a little something apart from us. From some guy in Rome, or for something from a book, or for some notion that somebody told us. It's alien to us and foreign to us rather than being part and parcel of our hearts. Now this is what Americans do all the time. We call it separation of church and state. What separation of church and state really means is ignore the church and make the government your God. Well, our lives are impoverished when we don't live them in the light of our faith. Now, I don't care what anyone says, but this modern world, its fashions, its attitudes, its buildings, its entertainments, its art, its people, its politics are ugly. Our lives are becoming ugly precisely because we are no longer living those lives in the beauty of the good God, as if that beautiful God has something to do with our lives. Now, I don't need to read a laundry list of modern ugliness, but the world of our grandparents, a world with beauty and politeness and decency and generosity, seems to have died a long time ago. Is it too much to conclude that back in the day, when we lived as if there were a God, and so many more people communicated with this God in prayer, that we communicated with ourselves more effectively and deeply with each other? Is it possible to say that our modern society, just so that we do not structure our lives in society as if God exists, our modern society creates a wall of noise and distractions so that we do not hear the voice of God? And if we do not hear the voice of God, we forget Him and begin to live our lives as if He does not exist. As an example, we have 1,001 communications devices, but we have nothing to say. We Twitter and we Facebook, and we think it's an amazing achievement that we're now in contact with people who didn't think to talk to us for the last 30 years, but now we're on Facebook. Oh, I haven't heard from him in 30 years. Is he worth it? Is she worth it? Is that really communication? No, it's just noise and distraction to keep us from talking to each other and keep us from talking to God. Our world is so full of meaningless chatter and static that it becomes impossible to hear God. And when it's impossible to hear God, we can't include Him in our lives. We're so busy sorting through this modern life and its noise that all of our personal dealings with God or with people are becoming totally superficial. Some night, go into your backyards and listen very carefully, very deeply. There is no silence anymore. Way out there, way off in the distance, you'll hear it. There's a hum. There's a whir, a sound. It's the ever-present background noise of modern life. It never leaves. It's always there. Sometimes it gets louder, sometimes it gets a little dimmer. But it's always present. Now, maybe it's the low hum of a million electric wires crisscrossing Berwyn. Maybe it's the blurry buzz of a million car tires turning on tar. I don't know what it is, but you can hear it. It's there, and it never ends, and it means nothing. It's just the background noise and the static that prevents us from hearing God. When our people all lived in the country, on farms and in villages, they lived and worked all day close to nature. They woke to the sound of birds chirping in the dawn, and they went to bed with crickets announcing dusk. They worked with horses and animals and crops and seasons, and they had no doubt as to who put it all together and for their benefit. They lived their lives conscious of the presence of God who created it all. The rhythms of life then were driven by the rhythms of prayer, and the silence of the world was broken only by the voice of God in nature, the birds, or the neighing of the horses. Maybe sometimes the silence of the world was broken by our voices lifted up in prayer. God was real, and our lives were structured according to that reality. No, we don't live in the country anymore. Even most of the farmers have been kicked off their land and sent to town to get a real job. But in the meantime, maybe we could make an effort to try to live our lives as if what we believe is true, and as if God is making a difference in our lives. In order to do that, we have to start listening for Him. And maybe that means turning off the television. Stop watching shows about celebrity vampires and washed up dirty dancers, who's hot and who's not on the internet. Those are terrible distractions that keep us from noticing or hearing God in our lives. How can God make an impact in our decisions about how to live life when sleaze on the screen is how we spend so much of our days? We need to pray more as individuals and as family. We can recite the rosary in the car. Why not recite parts of the rosary after supper? 10 Hail Marys after supper. We can also sit down and open up a Bible and read one psalm slowly every day. The psalms are beautiful. There's 150 of them. And they reflect sometimes what's going on in our hearts, sometimes they reflect what God wants for us. They're beautiful. One psalm a day to hear God's voice in our lives. God, the Trinity, our Catholic religion needs to become more than a definition, more than a statement, more than a notion in a book. Our faith needs to become the part of the fabric of our daily lives. And if what we believe about God and supernatural things is as true and real as this life is, then we must live our lives and make our decisions in the light of that reality. And when we do that, our lives and our world, because it's in touch with the really real God in this world, they can become sane again and maybe a little happier, and I know a lot more beautiful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hear more talks like these at greatcatholichomilies.com.